the most dangerous thing that you could be doing in many ways as a human being and as a company and a business is basically not change. So change is constantly happening, and that is growth, and we need to be inclusive in that process. Welcome to episode 3 of the How We Rise Leadership Podcast, where our mission is to empower you to rise, to become the leader that both your destiny and humanity is calling you to be. I'm your host, Claudia Chan. Thank you for joining me. So in these first few episodes have really been a series of redefining what leadership and what the new leadership should be, and that we need a new meaning that is A, number one, more accessible and appealing, right? So we talked about how the new leadership has to be purpose-driven, right? Leadership should be purpose-driven and it should be accessible. We should be able to lead change from where we are. So leadership isn't just this, leading my business or leading a team, and it's just really one-dimensionally focused on that, but instead that leadership means leading positive change and leading purpose and doing something good, right, for myself and for others, and that it is purpose-driven and accessible. So that was one major attribute. Another attribute we talked about was how it should be whole life integrated, and that leadership should mean leading my whole life well so that my whole life can thrive, right? It's not just about business. It's about our family and home and work and health and finances, and how do we lead everything well? And the third attribute of this new leadership and what this episode is really about is that the new definition of leadership requires leaders to be inclusive, or that the new leaders, another way to say it is that new leaders must cultivate inclusive mindsets and embody the trait of inclusiveness. And there's lots of definitions out there on what inclusion means or how people might perceive the word inclusion. It's not really the most mainstream word, and it's not really the most accessible word. I think many people think immediately diversity and inclusion, especially those that work in the corporate space or are involved in the corporate world, that D&I, diversity inclusion, is a very big term and often means something related to gender or person of color or something that has to do with diversity. So I'm going to unpack that a little bit more in this episode. Another, the more sort of basic common sense definition, right, is what you would look up in a dictionary on what it means to be inclusive, which is the action or state of being included within a group or structure. So that's pretty, the natural tendency definition, or what you would think, okay, well, I'm inclusive, so I'm including everybody else, right? So like that's inclusive. Another definition, which is more of the business version, this was, I believe, SHRM, which is an association for human resource professionals. They defined it as the achievement of a work environment in which all individuals are treated fairly and respectfully, having equal access to opportunities and resources, and can contribute fully to the organization's success. So again, that's more of a workplace definition of inclusion. So what I would love to do is try to give you a definition and an understanding of what it means to be an inclusive leader in a more accessible way. And I've talked a lot about this idea of this having this me for we mindset instead of a me over we mindset. And that in order for humanity to thrive and to be more successful, that we need to all think from a me for we standpoint. And there are two parts to inclusion, which to me are about me and we. So on the me level, being inclusive means me being able to show up as my true self, me being able to be authentic in my environments and really be who Claudia is, right? That is me showing up and me being inclusive on behalf of myself. On a we level, how can I show up and create the space so that others can show up as their true authentic selves, right? And the whole idea is that if we can all do that and we can all be authentic and be our whole selves or true selves, and we're in our environments, then we can really then thrive. Because at the end of the day, I know Oprah talks about this a lot, is that we really want to be seen and heard and loved and affirmed as human beings. And it's often why, you know, we're all here. And it really comes down sometimes, you know, to that simplicity. But the other reason why this is so beneficial and crucial is because I've talked about how there's limitless genius and potential and extraordinary gifts that we all have inside of us. And if we're in environments where, you know, we can't fully be who we are, and we're not enabling other people to do also, and we're not creating inclusive environments, then we're really all losing out, right, on the potential of the whole body, because we're not individually really at our potential and operating at our potential. And humanity, workplaces, communities, schools, workplaces, nothing can operate at its potential if we're not all showing up fully as who we are and unleashing what it is inside of us. So this me, you know, me showing up as my true self and me creating space for you to, this me for we, this whole mindset is an inclusive mindset and something that we should all work towards cultivating and getting better at. So that makes us better leaders, right? That is cultivating our inclusive behavior, inclusive mindsets, inclusive thinking so that we can show up and we can enable others to show up and we can all show up more authentically and all create environments where we all belong. But the challenges to this and why this doesn't always happen, and I broke it down on a me personal level, it is that I have barriers that are both internal and external. So internal barriers are just pretty much core limiting beliefs or insecurities or areas where I have a lot of self-doubt, right? I struggle to really show up fully and be confident as to who I am and what I want to represent, or, you know, show others or express what's really inside of me, because I have those insecurities, I have those blocks and those internal barriers. And often those are the things that happen to us because of our, you know, from our childhood or from an event or something or a source or something that was imprinted on us, right? These beliefs. And so that is one thing, one barrier that we need to know that we're up against. And external barriers that we personally have for us to show up authentically is, of course, you know, just our environments, right? And that unfortunately there's lots of inequity out there and lots of discrimination and lots of judgment and lots of just wrong in our communities, right? Where people aren't being treated well. And we've got those external barriers. And, you know, in workplaces, of course, those could be policies, those could be stigmas, those could be biases that exist. And, you know, and a lot of we're in a patriarchal system and patriarchal society where structures were not created for all genders and all races and all cultures, right? So we're still working on getting there. We're working on getting to that more equal humanity where we can all show up more authentically. So those are some of the challenges that on a personal me level that I have barriers that are both internal and external that are facing me to prevent me from being inclusive, to prevent me from my authentic self, right? And then secondly, on a we level, are the challenges there are the fact that we have biases. We all have biases and they're unconscious. Unconscious bias, I swear, was the word of 2017 and 2018, because obviously in the Me Too movement era, you know, companies now are so careful in prioritizing diversity and inclusion more in those initiatives, or a lot of the big Fortune 500 companies are. And basically, diversity and inclusion has been a big priority. And unconscious bias is a lot of programs and trainings have been done around unconscious bias in these companies to help with that. And so really, to break that down, it's really just as simple as the fact that we all come from very different backgrounds. Every single one of us, our family, our parents, our cultures, our economic class, where we grew up, the region of the country or the region of the world, to our skin color, to, you know, every aspect, our religion, our spirituality, our non-religion, our, you know, politics, right? We all have these different backgrounds and communities and social groups that we come from. So when we show up in an environment with other people, we're naturally going to have judgment and biases based on maybe what somebody is wearing or how somebody speaks or their accent or the color of their skin or, you know, their title. We're going to just naturally have biases and make judgments for other people. And that impacts our behavior and how we show up when it comes to engaging other people. So there are all these challenges. And really what we miss out on is, and to refer back to, I believe it was the first episode about the extraordinary potential and genius that exists in every single one of us, and that when we are not showing up fully as who we are, then that community loses out, that workplace loses out, our potential, our life potential loses out, right? So it is in, if we truly want communities and workplaces and families and everything to thrive and unleash creativity and innovation and to achieve success, right? To innovate and lead change, then we've really got to figure out how do we create environments that unleash and unlock the authenticity in people so that we can really become our destiny and our potential. And so some of the solutions around this is really, we all really need to change and change behavior. And on a personal level, on a me level, how I can show up and be more inclusive for myself, right? I mean, I just need to realize that to unleash the genius and to the visions and to honor that and to show up as really fully Claudia, I have to be transparent and vulnerable from one side and one perspective, right? And that takes, on the other side, it takes courage and it takes boldness and it takes confidence. So, you know, Brené Brown has written a lot about vulnerability and how vulnerability is being courageous. And the more vulnerable and the more the transparent we are, especially about the harder things in our lives and the stuff that we struggle with, then the more courageous we actually are. And so we all, in order to get to that place, we all need to go through personal growth. We need to do the work. There are areas that we need to heal around in order to have those breakthroughs and to be able to really rise as leaders and as inclusive leaders and have the courage to show up as to who we fully are so that we can lead whatever it is that we're doing, our careers, our work, our businesses very well, right? And personal growth truly does precede leadership development. And, you know, just recently too, I met with a very senior executive at a big company that is really struggling right now with a lot of, and I'm getting a lot of those emails and calls from my work where people are 20 years into their career, they're in these senior positions and they're really unhappy where they are. They feel like they lack purpose, lack meaning, but they also really lack confidence and they lack identity in their positions. And I think they were following this path and realized, you know, they thought that that would be success. And then they get to a place where they're like, wait a second, I don't have true meaning in my life and my identity means more than this, but they don't even know how to express what that identity is and what the next thing is for them. And so there's a lot of people who are even like, you know, high up and senior and established in their careers, and yet they're struggling with inclusion and showing up as their true selves, right? So, and again, this is at all different levels. If you're, you know, a junior level person, like how do you then show up also in the way that you collaborate or even assist a manager and report into somebody? How do you work also in a way that is, that you can show up as your true self, right? So on a we level, so on a personal level, you know, personal growth has to happen. We have to do the self-reflection work. We've got to go through leadership development training and personal reflection work in order to then figure out these are my limiting beliefs. These are my blocks. These are my barriers. I need to break through those things so that I can actually be a confident, authentic leader and really show up as my true self, right? But on a we level, how we can engage others and really be inclusive of others is we need to cultivate the traits of understanding, compassion, curiosity, being open-minded, receiving. So it's actually a lot of feminine traits that we really need to cultivate in order to really create the space for others to show up so that we can all be successful. I'm going through this a lot right now. You know, our company, you know, I believe we're in year 8 and we've gone through a lot of innovations over the years, but a really big one right now in launching a lot more digital programs and digital inclusive leadership trainings, which we actually in around April 15th, we're going to be launching our inclusive leadership training courses, which is why I'm so passionate about this topic. But, you know, we've gone through business and culture transformation because my husband, John, has joined the company. He brings this diversity of skill compared to me, right? I'm like the networking and people person and the creative, and he's very technical and process-oriented and structure-based. But we've gone through a lot of innovation over the last year, and also culture change. And it's been interesting how I've had to show up also in front of my team and really pause to say, you know, how are you doing? You know, what are the things that, you know, you're struggling with, and what do you really want to be doing now after you've been at the company for 5 years? And, you know, what are you going through so that I can be understanding and really know where all the team members are at, especially during this time of transformation and change, so that everybody can be empowered and that we can be working together and synergizing and aligning in the best way for the whole organization to be successful. So again, we need to realize that we need to be humbled. Humility is a big chapter in my book as a leadership trait, because the more humble we are, the more teachable we are, and the more understanding we are, the more we can learn. And if we show up in a posture of I know everything and I'm pretty much convinced in my way, and we have judgments on other people, then that's not really being inclusive, right? That's the opposite of inclusion. And that's when we're really limiting ourselves to change. Change is innovation. Change is necessary for things to grow. In fact, if you stay the same, you're not growing, right? Like the most dangerous thing that you could be doing in many ways as a human being and as a company and a business is basically not change. So change is constantly happening, and that is growth, and we need to be inclusive in that process. So those are some of the things and behaviors and just qualities that on a personal, on a me level and on a we level, that for us to cultivate, right? So that I can be more true to my authentic self and I can show up and enable others to as well. And out of that is truly where I believe that the power of all of this, the power of inclusion, is that it unleashes collaboration. And when people can fully be who they are and unleash the greatness inside of them, and they can do that with other people, are, and a collaboration happens between that diversity of skill and that diversity of passion and magic, right? That diversity of skill sets, then that's where the miracles and the innovation and things really start to thrive. That's where disruption happens. And I think that that's one of the most powerful things about inclusion, and for all of us to really, again, lead and be with each other and collaborate in a way that is authentic. Collaboration, to me, is what is needed for acceleration too. So when we are, you know, combining forces and we're all working well together as a family unit, as a community, as a school, as a leadership team, as a workplace, as a company, as a department, you know, that's when, and we can fully be who we are, and we're like, it's like, even, it's not even, you know, like colleagues, it's almost like soul to soul, right? Like, I know your soul. I mean, now I'm getting a little bit, you know, probably a little bit too far out there, right? Because you're like, okay, Claudia, like that's really possible. But I do think that, you know, the more we can get to know each other's souls, right? The more we can get to know each other's souls and really get to know who we are, the more magic happens. And sometimes there are people that where you fundamentally are just so different and you're like, this is not the right partnership and this is not the right environment and culture for me. And the sooner that you know that, the better that it is. I also just want to quickly point out that environments that tend to be most naturally inclusive, you know, of course, are, you know, our social communities and our friendships, right? Our friendship communities, where we can show up fully, you know, we can show up to who we are, you know, as who we are to some extent, but also others too. But the family unit is really interesting, because as, you know, as John and I, as we started working together, you know, we've definitely worked hard at, like, we know that his skill sets and my skill sets are so diverse, and it's diversity of those skill sets that really unleash our potential as mom and dad of the company. But at the same time, you know, learning how to be inclusive with each other has definitely been a challenge. And it's a challenge in the marriage too, right? And I found it so fascinating to apply leading inclusively or having an inclusive mindset with your spouse, because, you know, it is like, how do you work and collaborate with your spouse and synergize, right? So that both of you can really create the process and the needs, that what needs to be in place so that both of your diverse skill sets can really thrive in that environment. And, you know, so for John and I, it's both in our family and it's also in the business. And so I've just really found that fascinating, is that you can apply, you know, cultivating this inclusive mindset to be successful in your marriage and also in your family. And Dr. Shefali is the author of Conscious Parent, and she's written a bunch of books on parenting. She's a psychologist, does a lot of family therapy. Oprah's called her the most profound parenting expert. And she's also been a speaker on our She Summit global stage. And I love what she says is in terms of raising children, which is that as you're raising your children, to not create clones of yourself. And that's often what parents try to do, is they try to control and almost turn their kids into who they want them to be, as opposed to creating the space and the environment of support and listening and understanding and shaping and guiding, right? For the children to become who they are meant to be, right? Allowing them, enabling them to become who they're meant to be. Their souls are different. They are different souls than yours. And allowing them to become who they're meant to be is very different than controlling and trying to shape them into who you want them to be. So I also thought that it was really interesting that you could apply this inclusive mindset. And, you know, as we're leading our families, leading parenting, leading our children, leading our marriages, right? As we're doing all of this, that we're also cultivating an inclusive mindset on how we engage our family members and our children. So it's just sort of a fascinating thing that I wanted to throw in there. But moving from the sort of personal life area to now, and to the final piece of this episode, is really talk about why cultivating inclusive mindsets and inclusive leadership training is so important in workplaces and in businesses and in big companies, in any company. Now, diversity and inclusion is obviously, I mentioned earlier that's a huge term right now. It's a huge priority that companies are trying to ensure, and they're working really hard, or a lot of them are, especially the Fortune 500s, in creating more diverse workforces, making sure, you know, and again, it spans everything from sexual orientation to race, gender, and all kinds of culture backgrounds, right? All you know, whether it's a disability or veterans, and to really make sure that they have policies and programs, and also an employee base, right, that looks like that is representative of all these different dimensions. And it's interesting, because in this Me Too movement, in this Me Too movement era, you know, it has very much been a gender conversation, right? It's like, I feel like gender has been the, you know, women's equality and women's empowerment and getting more women into senior leadership. That's been a massive conversation, but that's also been a launching pad for the person of color, the women of color conversation, or intersectionality and race. It's also, you know, drawing more attention to just all dimensions of diversity. So diversity is really important, and we need to all start thinking about diversity, because society, and when you look at customers and who the humanity and who the world is made up of, is diverse. It's made up of a lot of diversity. So the one-on-one D&I lesson here, right, for those of you who are not engaged, you know, in the corporate environment, or for those who might are, you know, you're working at a company but you're not fully engaged in the company's D&I initiatives, is really thinking about diversity as, you know, the world has a lot of differences in it, and you want your talent base, right? You want your employees to reflect what society looks like, so that your business can be relevant and it can be innovative and it can have put out the best products and services and really align with what humanity looks like. So that's really important. So to me, diversity is actually more about talent acquisition. It's more about, like, it's more about, you know, what your employee base looks like and how you're hiring and where you're hiring from and the differences, to ensuring that you've got those differences inside your talent pool and in your culture. But inclusion to me is more about retention and advancement. And many, you know, there's a lot of just even academia and just D&I practitioners that teach this, but is that it's really, then you have, if you have that diverse pool of candidates, right? It's like inclusion, and are like, what is, are the culture the environment of the culture and the policies and the programs that exist, the initiatives that exist to make sure that that diverse body of people feel that they belong and feel that they're included and feel that they're seen and feel that they can show up, right? And that is about then they are fully who they are more and they can really thrive to their potential more. And that is about, that is why they will stay. They will stay and you can better retain them and also not just stay, but also advance, right? If we want to get more people of color, we want to get more women, we want to get more diverse groups into senior leadership, looking like the rest of the world, we've got to make sure that you've got a culture of inclusivity. And I love one of my consultants in the past, marketing consultants, her name was Chris Bell. She had a great quote, because we would always be talking about messaging and we talked about how, because it frustrates me that all these companies are so focused on diversity in numbers. Yeah, we got to get to 50-50 in gender equality and we've got to get to 50-50, you know, on racial equality. And, you know, and I get the numbers are so important and you have to have more equitable numbers, but, you know, equality has to be both measured but also felt. And that was the quote that Chris, that was the term that she would say, is equality has to be both measured but also felt. And I think diversity is about often the numbers and making sure that we have the right, oh, you know, 30% of, you know, women, da 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 da. And it's very statistics and numbers driven, whereas the feelings, the felt, equality being felt, that is more about inclusion. So diversity is more about, you know, being measured, and inclusion is more about being felt. It's also interesting, an interesting thing too, when it comes to D&I, because, you know, just like any other, I know that in a lot of the consulting work that we do, She Global does with helping corporations with their diversity and inclusion initiatives, is that, you know, it's how do you really determine success? And I think, like, unlike your sales numbers or unlike your marketing numbers or other things that can be so measured, I think that D&I is also just something that in many ways is ongoing, because it's really about, you know, how do we continue to create a, you know, enable a more diverse and inclusive and empowered, equally thriving, equitable body of a community of people, right? A culture. And it's just like sort of solving the problem in society. Like, how do we end all the discriminations and all the, you know, injustices out there, right? I mean, it's sort of an ongoing process. And so often diversity and inclusion is a nice to have, not a must, like hitting, you know, I don't know, lunch in the cafeteria or keeping the lights on, right? D&I is often something that is a nice to have and not a must. And often those budgets get cut, and, you know, and this is also a department in an area where, you know, companies are really, really just fighting for budget, you know, and it's really just not seen as much of a priority as some other areas, but increasingly so that is changing, and that has to change, because your company and your success is your people. And if you don't have an environment that is diverse and supportive and inclusive of that diversity, to keep up with your market, to keep up with competition, to keep up with how fast the future is coming and moving and what your competitors are doing, then you're going to be irrelevant pretty soon, right? And so we've seen that happen to so many traditional industries and big brands that have just been hit really, really hard because of this. So I wanted to share that sort of quick overview on my perspective of why diversity and inclusion is so important inside organizations and companies, and also sort of where we are now in 2019. So our She Summit conference every year, there's about 100 companies, over 100 companies that send their talents and send their employees and to come to the conference for inclusive leadership and overall leadership development and inspiration and education. And then we also, She Global, works to support companies by providing trainings and inclusive leadership trainings and other programs and programming. And to really achieve a more diverse workforce and for diversity and inclusion to be successful truly requires providing inclusive leadership training for your people, for all of your employees. I feel like the way I always say that, it is not companies or entities that drive change. It is people inside that do, the people that make up a community that drive the change. And if we can actually start cultivating inclusive mindsets and training people, providing them with the education and the consciousness and the inspiration and the empowerment to learn how to rise as an inclusive person, right? Show up authentically as who I am, but also create that space to be inclusive of others and help other people be seen and heard in the way that I collaborate, in the way that I work, in the way that I manage, in the way that I build my team, right? The more that we can train people to do that, the faster programs, the right programs and the right initiatives are going to start developing and the right improvements and innovations will start happening. Because it's about inspiring those people to be who they truly are and to affect and lead that change. Thanks so much for joining me for episode 3 of the How We Rise Leadership Podcast. And if you want to learn more about inclusive leadership and especially our trainings, please go to shesummit.com. We're rolling out with our new inclusive leadership training course momentarily, very soon. And I can't wait for you to learn more about it because it truly is what all of us need to thrive in our organizations, for what businesses need to thrive and what our communities need, is for all of us to cultivate inclusive leadership mindsets.